0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we move towards the final set of pre-split fixtures. Stuart Kettlewell reckons Motherwell are up against the best version of Celtic since 2003 when Motherwell go to the league leaders on Saturday. David Martindale hopes Livy's top six underdog status will suit them as Stephen Robinson eyes a financial godsend for his club. And Robert Snodgrass says he'll tell his side of the Hearts' departure story eventually. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me this evening is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yep, it's a big weekend to come. What's not to like about it? You've got the battle for third place, Aberdeen and Hearts, Aberdeen against Rangers, Hearts at home in Ross County. You've got Celtic going for all sorts of records, so they also need to beat Motherwell, battle at the bottom, and then also the Championship, which starts tomorrow night. Some fixtures there: Ayr United against Queen's Park tomorrow, followed by other big ones, Inverness Dundee on Saturday. A great weekend ahead.
Yeah, totally agree with Mark. Terrific weekend ahead. Looking forward to a fantastic Saturday show, watching the results come in. A lot of big important games, a lot of clubs out there trying to get at that top six position. Livingston, Hibs and St Mirren, full house at St Mirren. When's the last time we said that? So it shows you there's excitement about Scottish football.
Absolutely, let's share the excitement together. The 0141 951 1025. What is on your mind tonight? Pick up the phone and let us know. If you're already wanting to look ahead to the weekend, I don't think there's any shame in that on a Thursday evening. What about that battle for the top six? Come on, you St Mirren, Livy and Hibs fans. I know the way it works. You'll sit back most nights and think, ah, so much talk about Celtic and Rangers on the show. Well, why not use this opportunity to come and have your say? Because it's going to be an unbelievable weekend. One of those where you're checking the scores and seeing how the other teams are getting on. And St Mirren, of course, have their fate in their own hands. Hibs, to an extent, Livy need a snooker in there as well. So how are you feeling about that race for the top six? Something amuse you?
I like that.
What?
Need a snooker in there as well. It's just World Championship.
He did like
snooker,
that, didn't he? He was just,
I think that's
he was just scribbling away there, and he just gave a big grunt.
No, but I just like the way you involved this week's big sport into our sport.
I'd like to see you on the table with a bag of orange powder right all over your head. I can just picture you.
No, I should actually be there because I'm a decent player. I'm a very, very good player.
You've not got the flexibility to get up on the table now.
No, I certainly have not. I probably don't have the flexibility to go off the seat now in the corner. So, but it was a nice one.
Anyway, good right, it was not meant to be picked up on in any way.
For you there. Bad feedback for you, Gordon, as you go.
Lose my train of thought.
Anyway,
the battle for the top six, what are you thinking? St Mirren fans, come on, let's hear from you in particular. I know there'll be lots of you in the local area. Livy and Hibs fans, join in as well. How are you feeling? Are you nervous? I mean, St Mirren fans, surely you're in the driving seat. I know you thought you'd got there before and it all went a bit wrong, but surely this time. How are you feeling ahead of that weekend? Celtic fans, I wonder if you have thoughts on what the Motherwell manager had to say today. He reckons this team could be as good as Martin O'Neill's 2003 team. And I wonder if you agree or disagree with that. It's obviously a very different time, but I wonder what you think. I wonder if you agree, or is that praise over the top, or maybe it's not going far enough. You tell us. 0141 951 1025. And of course we have to wait until Sunday, but what a fixture. Aberdeen Rangers, always one of the highlights, and in particular hot on the heels of a certain controversial red card and failed appeal and additional game suspension that kept everyone busy last night, Mark.
Just incredible. I was listening to a show last night because I was interested to hear what the guys would say about it. And I'm pretty much with Jim and Simon on this one, that I found it incredible that the SFA found a right to add on an extra game. Now, I know there is something stated in the rules that they've got every right of doing it, but when you've never seen it all season, for them to do it at this time, calling it frivolous, it just got to me. And I look at the SFA and the referees and how many mistakes we've poured over this year from their side. It seemed quite hypocritical. So if I was Aberdeen, I would be furious that the extra game added. I wouldn't be furious that the appeal failed, because I thought it was a red card and it should have been upheld. But I thought they had every right to appeal it, and I think a player should have a right to appeal it. Now, I get the sided argument. Some people saying, oh, they were doing it so that he could make the next game. And maybe people would play the system like that. But I think the SFA had every opportunity just to uphold the three-game ban. I don't know why you would add another one on. I think they've came out of this looking bad.
It's been a lively old week, Gordon DL.
Oh, I love it. It's excitement. I agree with Mark. I think it's ludicrous that the extra game was put on. I do also agree with Mark again that I don't know why they thought they were going to get the appeal overturned. I thought it was a red card.
There you are then. Is it not frivolous?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you don't add in the other. In my day.
You just said they had no chance of winning it.
I thought it was a red card.
So did I think it was a red card. However, I still thought there was enough in it for people to be split. Now, I listened to the show last night. Jim stood where Daz is and said, red card. Simon thought it wasn't a red card.
What do you
think? So there you go. I thought it was a red card.
There you go then. We're agreeing.
But my point is, there is some dubiety in it that it was enough for an appeal to be considered. Not overturned, considered. It certainly wasn't enough to say, by the way, you've wasted everybody's time, so I'm adding on another game. We want our players, our best players, all players in this country, to play as much football as possible. Now, if they do overstep the line, yes, of course they should serve a ban. What they shouldn't be doing is getting punished further on top of the ban because you thought you were hard done by. So SFA made a rod for their own back because, of course, anybody that goes to appeal any decision, I'll now be thinking, well, am I going to lose the player for another game?
No, they'll tell you it's an independent judicial panel, of course, but that's another camp.
Who are these people? Anyway. Who are these panel?
Why do you care?
I know.
So you've got somebody to blame. So you've got somebody hang out to dry.
Look,
does Thursday, that matter?
Can you?
The weekend.
Let's move on.
01419511025. Let's see what we've got on the phones. Let's take the temperature. Richard's in Livingston. What's your point tonight, Richard?
Hi, guys. Hope you're all okay.
Thank you.
It was 2 points, if you don't mind. The first one, I'm a Celtic fan. The first one was about the statements Michael Beale's coming out with, like, we need 5 players and that'll bridge the gap. I've got an unrestricted budget. I've not spoken to the players coming out of contract. Is it really wise for them to be coming out with all this stuff? And we've got a semi-final. I just kind of hear a lot coming from one side of the city, and it's coming up to their biggest game. I'm not sure it's wise.
What bit of that's not wise though? I mean, I would take your point. You know, had Michael Beale said we're going to wipe the floor with Celtic and I'll be dancing down the street, you know, on Sunday night, that would be unwise. What out of those examples you've given, what bit of it is not wise?
Well, there's definitely two that correlate together. So if you, on the one hand, you say you've not spoken to or offered contracts to players that are coming out of contract, and then say, well, I need 5 players. How can you know what you've got? Do you understand what I mean?
Oh yeah, I think that's fair. I just don't know if it, you know, does it get to that sort of unwise stage?
I've no problem with it in the sense that Rangers fans for a long time now have been on this show talking about they don't get any information, they're kept in the dark about what's happening going forward. The Rangers manager, nothing of it. He certainly needs 5. I think he maybe, once the season finishes with 1 or 2 going out to leave more spaces, it'll be more than 5 coming in. Transfer window's very important to him. So he believes trying to get more quality in to try and bridge that gap against Celtic. Then the other argument will be, well, Celtic will strengthen in the summer as well. But I don't see anything up with Michael Beale. You're right, Gordon, he's not coming out and shouting, we're going to do X, Y and Z against Celtic in the semi-final where he can get shot down in flames. He's only telling Rangers fans that he's starting to plan for the summer. Now, whether he's spoken to Morelis and Ken, or he has an idea where they're want to stay, or they're want to go, or they're want to be kept or not, then that's up to him. You know, behind closed doors, he'll deal with that business with the people in charge. But I don't see anything up with Michael Beale's statements just now. I really don't.
Yeah, I hope this comes across right, Richard, because I always maintain people can phone up and talk about their own team or a rival team or any other team. I don't think that matters. That's the beauty of it. But I still don't quite get what bit of it's coming onto your radar as a Celtic fan and annoying you, if that's the right word, or you know, what makes you phone, if you like, out of this stuff as a non-Rangers fan?
Well, what actually made me phone was my second point, but I thought I would bring that in because there just seems to be a lot in the news about what Rangers are going to do, and it's been actually for quite a while now. We're going to do this. This is the real Rangers now. And if I'm just putting myself in the shoes of a Rangers fan, if Michael Beale signs five players now, if they sign five players in the summer, regardless of anything else that happens, and they've got no success, then what happens?
Where I will agree with Richard, Mark, but I think it's for perfectly innocent reasons, if you like, is there is a lot of focus, attention, headlines on where Rangers are at and what they're going to do. But I also think that's just probably natural with whoever's second, you know, whoever's chasing, because we always, in Glasgow, to be very broad about it, you've got one team that will be in a good place and the other one's in crisis. That's just kind of the feeling that comes off. Everybody knows what Celtic do. They're very good at it. No one's concerned that the recruitment won't be good because it's previously been good, and if players do leave, so there's bound to be a bit more fascination about how Rangers respond to this challenge.
Of course there is, especially when you change your manager halfway through a season, and Michael Beale came in end of November, start of December, so pretty quick to the first window came about. So you could probably say that he didn't get a full shot of preparing for the window. This next window, he will have a full shot. He's had a perfectly good lead-in time to that, so you can see why there is interest and why he is saying that I need five changes. But let's be honest, Michael Beale's saying that because he's probably been asked the question, but he's no different from any other manager in the league. You name me a team in that league that won't make five signings in the summer. Every team does. Now, the lower you get in the league, it's because teams just give year contracts, so the turnover is much bigger. But if you look at Aberdeen last year, you look at Hart, any of those teams, five players probably the norm. So Rangers are no different. Maybe the difference is that the five players that Michael Beale wants to bring in are ones that go right into the first team and make an actual difference. And Kent and Morelos, whether they're offered something or not, if they're still there, which I doubt they will be, then the five players have to be impacting their quality to make them perform.
And it is tough. It's a very grey area, as you mentioned. Okay, do Rangers need four or five players to compete with this version of Celtic, or is that already predicting how much better Celtic will be next season? Either they do impressive transfer business, or all of a sudden Hatate improves and Jota improves and Kyogo improves. So it is difficult, and I always have a bit of sympathy for managers because they're asked how many players are away, and they just sort of answer honestly. But maybe putting a number on it is more hassle than it's worth.
Yeah, he's probably put a number, because I think that Rangers, with the players out of contract that will probably leave, I think it'll free up a bit of money, free up some spaces in the first team squad. I think he needs five key players, but I also think he needs more players as backup as well. You know, the ones that you look at Celtic, those impact substitutions that come on three at a time with 65 on the clock and all of a sudden change the game, whether they're cruising, do they lift up in our level, whether they're having to chase a goal, they lift up in our level. So I think he'll be striving for that. I think the window in the summer will be brilliant, because the one thing the Celtic fans are very confident is their manager knows how to work it. He's been brilliant in it, and you can't take that away from him. But also the Rangers fans will be desperate to see the sort of player that Michael Beale's got to bring to the club.
What was your other point, Richard?
Well, just a quick one. I don't think that any of the current team would get into the 2003 team.
Oh, that's an interesting one. Let me play those comments. Just very quick comments from Stuart Kettle, where he was asked about the size of the task going to face Celtic these days, as Motherwell will do on Saturday.
I think that you would pitch this team up there with many other excellent sides. You know, we look at sides that have got to European finals. It's a different way of playing, I keep stressing that as well. But again, I always just keep going back to this relentless nature. I think it's one thing to be a good side, but I think it's another thing to continually do that throughout 90 minutes.
Richard says not one player from this team would get in the 2003 team, Mark Wilson.
I think Callum McGregor would.
Over
Lenny.
Oh, he'll be on the phone.
Oh no.
He's panicking now. Look how red his face has gone.
I'm seeing that from playing with Neil Lennon and what he brought. I thought he was a terrific player, but I think what Callum McGregor has done over the period of time He would.
Do you know what I love about modern football media? Gatright, by 6:30, the Scottish Sun will have an article saying former Celtic star slams former manager and says Callum McGregor is a better player.
I know,
yes,
I know.
That's what I love about this show.
Neil, please don't take that to heart. But listen, some would give him a run for their money. Would Jota get in? Different systems, of course, but you think some of the standouts, Kyogo, look, he wouldn't replace the
Larson,
he would definitely not. Sutton, would he replace Hartson?
Goalkeeper.
Big Rab.
You don't offend him as well. Come
across Rab sometimes, so like Big Rab. I've never met Joe Hart, so Rab, I'm taking Rab. Actually, Lenny's in again.
I was very fortunate. I come up as a manager against that team in the semi final in Scottish Cup, and I've got to say they were fantastic. They were a terrific side. Really did.
What was the score?
3-0. I masterminded it. And I've got to
say, do you think this current team would beat you 5 or 6?
No, I think we'd beat them maybe 1. I think we've got my tactical genius that day. Even Martin O'Neill come up and said, brilliant.
Right, enough. I've heard enough. Richard, has Mark Wilson not given you at least some food for thought on a couple?
No, but it was worth making the comment. Just I can imagine what his face is like.
I know, Richard. Put me in a spot of honour.
Is he still in Cyprus?
There's a wee guy jogging down.
You don't get this in Cyprus, do you?
Oh, super scoreboard. Yeah,
on the guy jogging down Dumbarton Road, the new wee Lenny.
Anyway, where's that Clyde headquarters?
Thank you very much, Richard. 01419511025. It's a good debate and a terrible one all at the same time, because to be fair, Richard's gone man for man there. Maybe that's not the question. Maybe you're talking, you know, as a unit, as a team, as a challenge. And then I don't know, does it take into account how strong Motherwell would be going there, you know, in 2003 or whatever?
I played against that team numerous occasions. I played in a number of positions. I played as part of a back three against Larson and Hartson and Sutton. I played as a right back against Alan Thompson. I even played in centre mid against Lenny and Stan. And they were just unstoppable. They really were. But I don't know, something about this side, how dynamic, how quick they are, their rotations, it is phenomenal. I mean, the game's changed so much now. Those players would adapt, but it's a good argument, but one that could last for.
Do you know why I at least like that from you? See, even if you're miles off it, I like the fact that you resist the temptation that a lot of people fall into to go, nah, it was better in my day.
Oh no, so wasn't it better?
I like the fact that you're at least open-minded enough.
I've got to say, right,
it was better than yours.
Football in our day was a lot better. That big punter.
Could you not still pass it back to the goalie in your day?
He picked it all day.
Did the goalie wear gloves?
3 bounces, boom, up the pitch.
He ran as fast as he could.
No inverted fullbacks then.
Oh no, we just played off the cuff. That was the old days. But the 2003 team is better than the team just now.
Thank you, Richard. You've got Stuart Kettlewell to blame for this. 01419511025. It's a good time to call. Whatever it is that's on your mind, now is the time to share it.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025. Kenny Haddon sent a cracking tweet and he says Dazzler, because we were just talking there about, you know, Stuart Kettlewell said, you know, the Celtic team, how does it compare to Martin O'Neill 2003, that sort of stuff. And we're talking about back in your day. Kenny sent me something that I genuinely didn't know existed, and it's a picture of you in a Man City top.
No way, let's see that.
I mean, I've seen the Rangers ones, you know, the Wraith Rovers one. I've never seen you in a Man City.
Home or away?
Doesn't really look like himself.
Let's see.
White, must be away. Pint white, with sort of black stripes. He said you played on Red Ash Parks and the goalie was only allowed 2 steps.
No way.
Oh, look at that boy.
That's better than expected. I thought I was going to laugh.
Honestly, Mark, I look at those photos of years gone by and I now realise why 3 women wanted to marry.
Right, stop it, right? This is not the forum for that type of comment.
I just wanted to hit the Man City. They thought I had a bit of candy.
The worst part about that photo was your face.
I was angry.
The strip and that. It looks newer than I thought.
Could you imagine me in that team now, watching them last night? But with my pace?
Obviously not.
Oh,
but your pace, aye.
Grealish off the left, me off the right. Oh, jeez, oh. We
were Bernardo Silva sitting on the bench. What have I got today?
Big Erling shouting, Dazzler, whipping
early for me. Me and him celebrating.
That's a good photo, that.
Yeah.
It's one of your better ones.
Up the mantle.
Thank you, thank you.
Anyway, enough about that. Paul is on the line. Paul, what's your point tonight?
Hey, I have to give you another go anecdote before I start.
What's he done?
Well, apart from the fact that our ladies used to, very often up at the Watsonville, and now default Watsonville. But I was talking to one of my friends, Gordon, played in a Legends game about 10 years ago, over 35 stuff, and he was absolutely outstanding. He was pinging balls 50 yards. We were at a funeral other day there, and we were actually, his ego loved this, we were actually arguing about whether he was a good player or not. So
I
was,
do you know what I love about this, right? You're going to see the most interesting things happen, Paul, because Gordon always brags, always, about how he's never played football since he retired. He hates it. He would never play in any of these charity games. So I'm thinking someone's got the wrong end of the stick, but he's thinking about lying and saying that it was him, because yeah, you've been given such rave reviews.
That was me. That was, oh yeah, the way I was pinging it about.
So you didn't play in a Legends game? No. Doesn't sound like something. You weren't invited. Too lazy.
I can't remember that one.
Anyway, enough about that, Paul. What about Celtic? What's happening?
Yeah, just come following on for the caller earlier. I mean, first of all, Celtic aren't guaranteed to be as strong. Not that I want to start selling our players on air, but you know, there could well be a lot of bids, you know, for the likes of O'Reilly. Moy might not, you know, get another, you know, he might be fading out the picture. Hearts maybe, you know, so you could look and start picking holes in that squad. But so just that first of all, whether Celtic will be strong next year. And then just a little bit about the Michael Beale stuff, where he would really be better served keeping his mouth shut. He might be playing to the crowd a wee bit with season ticket sales, etc. Because the Rangers team, the whole thing with Kent Morelos, I think I made the point before. I remember specifically when Aya and Edward were running down their contracts, Celtic get almost 40 million, 35 million for the two of them. Kent Morelos are going to leave for free. So it's just to see.
Similar to the last caller though, Paul, what's the bit that Michael Beale needs to keep his mouth shut over? You know, this sort of throwaway thing about, yeah, I think we're four or five players away from competing with Celtic. Is it that offensive? You know, even if you think it's wrong and Celtic would still, you know, is it that outlandish? It's not like he's saying, tell you what, four players, Celtic won't live with us. You know, it's not that, the language isn't that strong, is it?
Well, I think it's disrespectful in the sense that he's called Ange Postecoglou lucky, so much so that he will get Richard Ashcroft playing on a Saturday. You know, it's just disrespectful, Gordon. You know, you mean, if you look at the great managers in the past, they did their talking on the pitch. You know, he's came up here, he's full of the sound bites. Whether the Rangers fans are buying into it or not, is another story. And you know, he came up with every stat about how they're matching Celtic, other than the fact that they're 12 points behind. And I understand that the only three of them were on his watch. But if he loses this semi-final, then he's under severe pressure already. So maybe he's feeling that. But to put a number on the, okay, here's my point. Then here's the gist of it. To actually put a number on it instead of just saying, you know, I think we're a few players away, or we need to strengthen certain positions. He comes out with a number to say we're five players away from matching Celtic. I mean, that's a big statement to make.
Disrespectful, though.
I think on top of the lucky comment.
Yeah, that to be look, but that seems like a separate historic issue that was well talked about at the time. You know, if you want to bring that into it, then fair enough. You know, Paul can set the parameters, but
right. I've lucky. I'm not going along with that. Obviously, Michael Beale. I don't buy that. But the other stuff that Michael Beale's come out with, I don't know why it bothers Celtic fans so much. You look across, everything's roses in the garden. They're probably, let's be honest, one game away from a treble this year. The entertaining football, the goals over 100, they've been absolutely brilliant. They're looking forward to, obviously, try to beat Rangers in the semi-final, which they'll go in favourites, of course they will. A treble, and then the summer, and new players coming in. There'll be one or two players probably going on. That's what just happens, because if your players are playing at such a good level and performing, then other clubs obviously are interested. But Postecoglou showed that it doesn't really matter. He can lose. He lost Juranovic. Nobody's bothered about that. Giakoumakis, nobody's bothered about that. So he's prepared to lose good players because he knows that he can always fill the spots with other ones. I just think it's a... Michael Beale's got to get through this semi-final. I do believe he will come under a little bit of pressure if he doesn't beat Celtic, because that's what it's all about for Rangers fans just now. But in the summer, it'll be a big transfer window for a Rangers manager, because he's got to really try and back his sell against the reputation of what Postecoglou's done coming in with the transfer windows, the quality players he's brought in, and the team he's built. That's where Michael Beale has to do his work in the summer.
Thank you very much. That was Paul on the line, 01419511025, or it's Twitter at ClydeSSB. I don't know why this happens every like couple of weeks, where people just now, we open this can of worms and people send me pictures of you as a footballer, like you're some sort of novelty act from 50 years ago. The funniest one, because Peter sent me one that I don't think that's you. Genuinely, like, it's not a joke. He says, "Here's the Dazzler in the home kit." That's not you.
That's
it. I don't care what anyone says. Sab on the front, sponsored by Sab.
That's him.
That's not you, is it?
That's you. You can tell he's
nah.
The nose on.
Absolutely no chance that's me.
That's you.
Look at the burn on that guy.
That nose is half the size of his.
Oh, put it to the public.
Do you know what, actually?
That is you. You can tell with the eyes.
Not me.
Okay. Anyway, 01419511025. Gary's a Rangers fan from East Kilbride. How are you, Gary?
Hey, I'm not too bad, panel. How's yourselves?
Good, thank you. Good. What have you got for us?
It was just to talk about, obviously, Michael Beale's comments and the last couple of callers. I don't really know why the Celtic fans are getting upset about what Michael Beale said. Personally, I don't agree with him. I think it's going to need more than four or five. Actually, going on what the first caller said, there's obviously quite a lot of players out of contract, and it's looking very unlikely that many, if any of them will sign. I think out the lot, the one that's most likely is Ryan Jack. But personally, I think it's going to need more than that due to that fact. But I don't really see why the Celtic fans are annoyed about it. He's not said anything bad about Celtic, so I don't really see why it concerns him.
I do. This serves as a reminder every now and then that this show is unpredictable and does just take on a theme of its own sometimes. But we didn't even really mention any comments from Michael Beale. The first caller wanted to talk about something he'd said, and it snowballed from there. I guess that's the beauty of the live phone-in format at times. You know, I've got visions of Michael Beale turning on his car right now and saying, "What have I said?" Yeah. When did it? And the four or five players thing was a couple of days ago. Fair enough. I mean, Gary, what you mentioned, the you know, kind of out of contract situation and so on. It's been the week in which we've seen, I think, strong links, or stronger than we've seen previously, with Ryan Kent and Burnley this time. What do you make of that situation?
I'm starting to get to the stage that I think it is actually time for Ryan Kent to move on. I do think he's a good player, very talented, but he's just too inconsistent, and his numbers just aren't there. It's one of those ones. Is he maybe end his time at Rangers? I think there's quite a few in the squad that you could actually make that argument. Just over the last two seasons, they seem to have stagnated. They should have kicked on after 55 and didn't. I think part of that is down to the board, and part of that is down to the players and management. So I think it's round about time. Same with Morelos. I love Morelos. I think he's a cracking player. But again, he's not really provided much this season, same last season, and it's maybe about time we just... But I'm not happy they're leaving for free, but players come to their end of their time at clubs. It's just the fact of the game. I think last night, I can't remember if it was Simon or that said it, but they said that Celtic aren't going to stand still this season, in the pre-season. So I definitely think we're going to need more than four or five. But I'm interested to see what obviously Michael Beale brings in, who maybe stays out there. Out of contracts, as I say, I think Ryan Jack out the lot is probably the most likely to sign. But I definitely think we're needing a goalkeeper, we're needing another centre back. Midfield, depending on who goes, is sort of here or there. obviously needing another maybe two cycles, and definitely needing more from the wingers.
Yeah, I mean, it did say that, you know, Gordon, that's why it is. It's a difficult subject to debate without knowing how much of a throwaway number it was. Does Michael Beale mean four or five because Morelos and Kent stay? If those two go, does that four or five become six or seven? You end up just sort of getting bogged down in the detail of it. What did you make of yesterday? That the sort of, that's when the Ryan Kent, the Burnley stuff seemed to pick up a bit of pace, certainly.
Yeah, I'm like Gary. I think that Ryan Kent has got very good ability, Gordon, but he frustrates the life out of me. I hate to manage him, because you would sit there every week and think, will he do it this week? Will he perform this week to the best of his capabilities? And he certainly has got it in him on the day, but I think it's time for Ryan Kent and Morelos to move on. I think that when it gets to the summer, Michael Beale's got to stamp his own authority, bring in his own players. It's going to work round. He obviously likes Cantwell, he likes Tillman combination. I think he's got to bring in other players to, you know, complement these guys. Whether Tillman stays, you've still a big chunk of your money to go and pay for Tillman if you're going to keep him. But there's plenty of room there and plenty of scope. I think he's just thrown four or five out there. If you look at the amount of players that probably will be leaving, I think he's got to be looking more at four and five. He may just be looking at that five that he definitely wants to start. That's his strongest 11. But he's got to fill that bench as well. He's got to fill the squad, because there's a lot of players out of contract. There are a lot of players now will leave Rangers. We know that. You look at the goalkeeper, you look at Davis, you look at Arfield's on his last couple of months in his contract. Hollander's never been seen. Matondo's hardly featured. You look at Kent, Morelos leaves. There's a lot of gaps here for players to come in.
Ryan Kent is an interesting one, Mark, because I think, you know, early on Michael Beale made a lot of noises about wanting to keep him. There's that relationship there as well. And I feel like, just a gut thing, every Rangers fan that gets in touch now, though, just a couple of weeks on or a couple of months on, just says, yeah, it's just time. It's just the best time. You know, it will suit all parties. It's run its race. Let's not push out the boat and mad money a week to keep, you know, it's just time to do it.
I think so.
He might want that, of course, as a player.
Yeah, now they've invested heavily in him, transfer fee and then what they've put into him in the years over the piece. But like Gary says, Kent, inconsistencies. He's more consistent this season at the level he's playing at, which is poorly. And the inconsistencies come when he has a show-stopping game, which has been very, very rare. Used to be the other way about. So if you're getting that from a player and you're not getting a decent return or what you expect from him, then yeah, I guess it is probably time to move on. There's no point in just saying, well, oh, we'll keep him in the hope because we spent 7 million. Because when do you draw the line? So it's came to a natural end, I think. I think the player needs a refresh. He needs something different as well to maybe reignite his career. And I think Rangers could stop doing with depending on him. They just depend on him every week, and it's obviously not working. Michael Beale has to put his own stamp on this team, and that'll come this summer.
Thank you very much. That was Gary in East Kilbride. 0141 951 1025. We are about to get some travel news, which means it's actually the perfect time. If you want to get your call in, there's a good chance we'll try and get you on next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are both in the building and both waiting for you to get in touch. So give us a call, 0141 951 1025. If you'd rather tweet, you can do as well over there at Clyde SSB. So get in touch with the guys, let them know what you're thinking, just like Brian has done on the phones. How's it going, Brian?
Not bad, yourselves, guys. All right.
Yeah, cannot complain. What's your point tonight?
Just a quick point. It's all about the Rangers with Celtic fans. It's all about the Rangers. They could just worry about the rain sales. But anyway, my point is about Sunday. I think Rangers will make a couple of changes for Sunday. They'll bring in maybe Yilmaz and a couple of young boys in the midfield. I'd like to see Adam Devine get a wee start against Aberdeen. I want to go all youngsters, but I think they'll rest a couple of players for the big game on the week on Sunday. And I really do think we'll beat Celtic in the final, semi-final. I'm very, very confident. Celtic were lucky in the last two games against us, with the goal get chopped off and last minute goal at Ibrox. But I think we've got the making of it this time.
You've missed out the other cup game in between, though.
No, Scottish Cup. Ah, well, they deserve that.
Selective evidence from Brian. Anyway, the gist of it, well, I won't argue too much. The gist of that was Rangers would they rest players this weekend ahead of the semi-final.
I don't think he will. I don't think. I can see a logic behind it. You're wanting to keep most of your players that are definitely going to start fresh, and you want to make sure no injuries. But you're going to Aberdeen. It's a big game. As a Rangers manager, you've got to win as many games as you possibly can, because it doesn't matter if they go up there and say, well, we played a couple of kids. If you get beat, then you come under criticism. Now, I don't know if he'll play a full strength 11 that will start the following Sunday, but I don't think he'll be too far away from his strongest side. I don't know about Devine in the middle of the park. He's not a fullback. He's not playing in that area. Yilmaz, we've not really seen a lot of him. But it'll be interesting to see what you start line up. For me, the big question mark will be the centre forward position.
Can you take that risk, Brian? You know, when it gets to this stage, everybody except Celtic are going to win it. But I mean, if Rangers were to slip up, they'd win it really soon, and you don't want to try and prolong it and keep the winning league run going, that sort of thing.
No, the league's by. That's no doubt about it. But as I say, this cup is the most important game for us now. What I said about Devine, right back, he Tavernier, we rest, and because Aberdeen they'll hang back against Rangers. So maybe the top decent players like your Raskin, your Cantwell, and your Tillman, they'll get a wee rest for the following week, because you can't risk injury. I mean, if you get three or four injuries, then I can't see us winning the semi final after that. But if we keep our strongest team for a week on Sunday, I don't think the Rangers fans will be too unhappy with that.
I think he could make changes. Brian's point here about Tavernier, I get what you're meaning. It's a big game against Aberdeen, always as away, but the biggest game of your season is next week. Any of your players pick up anything in what's going to be a feisty encounter against Aberdeen, then especially your captain Tavernier, who, I'm not being harsh on Devine, but it's not like if Tavernier picked up anything, which evidence shows he very rarely does. Yeah. Is Devine going to be your man to come in to a semi-final against Celtic? No. So if I was Michael Beale, I'd be inclined to think about that. I know it's a big game and it's always a big occasion up there, but circumstances dictate that he's got to win the game next week more than he does the Aberdeen game this week.
So what, all about injury protection? Because in terms of a rest, Rangers are just going Saturday, Saturday, Saturday at the moment. So, yeah. Or Sunday even.
But,
so
again,
in the modern game,
they've played a lot of
that's,
football though over the course of a season.
Well, to be fair, the players that Brian mentioned in particular, Raskin and Cantwell, haven't. So there's a school of thought there. At what point is it counterproductive? Are you resting, or are you denying people the chance to play their way into even better form?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think those two would stay in, but I would single out, well, I would highlight Tavernier, probably Barisic as well, because listen, I've been Barisic one of his biggest critics this year defensively.
Yeah,
but there's no doubt
against him.
Just that he's not very good when players are running at him. But Yilmaz, would you put him in next week's game? Michael Beale, I think only naturally has to have one eye on next week rather than just full focus on this. And I know if he was asked, I know what the answer would be. No, it's one game at a time. It's a game in front of us.
Does it not just feel like Rangers, and I'm not saying this is right, by the way, I'm talking about perception, and even from a lot of the Rangers fans that phone in, does it not feel like, even although Michael Beale has won all these games, does it not still feel like he's on, I don't know if probation's the right word, on a bit of a tightrope? Not just, if you know, one or two more slip ups in the league, and then that, something that he's not really done yet, and then that gap becomes huge, and Celtic wrap it up really soon. Is that stick that he needs, even although, as Brian says and everyone says, it's gone, but we live in an entirely illogical footballing universe here.
I can understand that if he loses this league run, apart from getting beat from Celtic, then of course Rangers fans go, oh, I'll look at that also. You've lost there, so the points gap is bigger. But I think the more open-minded Rangers fan would or could understand why he would, you know, leave some out. Now, the problem would be if you leave some out and it doesn't go your way on Sunday, and then it gets to the semi-final next week and you get beat again, then you're in a difficult place. So it's a big call for the Rangers manager. What I'm saying is, I wouldn't be surprised if when the teams come out, Tavernier wasn't in it, Barisic wasn't in it. I'm trying to think one or two more.
Well, Kent was injured, remember, last week. Kent, Goldson's been injured, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with
them. You wonder who'll play up front as well, with one eye on the Sunday. Will he play Colak? Will he play Morelos? I think Tavernier will play. I know what Mark's saying, but I think Tavernier will play. He seems to play nearly every game. Doesn't matter what the following week is, I think Tavernier will play. Will he add one or two in there? Yeah, he can rotate the squad a little bit. Maybe Lundstrom coming into Midley Park and one or two, but I think it'll still be a strong starting 11, because I agree with Mark. You can't go to Pittodrie and lose, and then the following week lose against Celtic at Hampden. It brings more pressure.
Thank you, Brian. We'll find out very soon. What about Graham and Bells Hill? Take it away, Graham.
Hi, good evening, panel. Yeah, it's actually on a bit of a similar vein, that discussion, and I wanted to bring up the Rangers goalkeeping situation. So the two points I wanted to make, the first one was whether you think that it would be wise for Michael Beale now to kind of bring in Robbie McCrory in the league. And he's not really going to learn anything from McGregor, and I think he's already kind of decided that McLaughlin's not really got a future as a number one within the club. So he's obviously got an eye on bringing in a number one, but I'm whether he could learn quite a lot about McCrory from now until the end of the season and bringing him in.
It's a good question, because he's said publicly on more than one occasion that he's going to do it. You don't need me to tell you. Six games remaining. So at what point?
Well, I said a couple of weeks ago, I think if you're bringing him in, you're bringing him in to learn something and pressure situations. Now, you're not going to play him against Celtic, okay? So you can rule that league game out, and you can rule the semi-final out.
Even if it came late, because bearing in mind he's actually played in one before, it's one of the only games he played did well.
Yeah,
you know,
I suppose.
If it was because I don't know, without going into a whole other conversation, are they likely to schedule that after the league's won anyway?
Yeah. Well, I think this game is a perfect game for him to play. There is always high stakes at Pittodrie. It always is a game. It comes with huge pressure for the players, and he will get tested on Sunday. Whichever goalkeeper it is, we know they will get tested. So I think this would be a good one to put him in. You know McGregor's going to play next week anyway. You know what McGregor can do. Why wouldn't you put him in?
Gordon, might this be the weekend?
He could. He's promised the lads some game time. Big game. He will get tested. It'll be interesting. Yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised. And look to McGregor for the following weekend in the semi-final. But he's got to get a run out somewhere along the line. And I think the boy would appreciate at least getting in where he's got to get tested. Pittodrie will be a difficult game. So yeah, I can see him going down that road.
Anything else on that situation, Graham? I suppose there's a bit of thinking to be done in the summer as well, you would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably thinking about McCrory. If he does come through these next six games, if he does play him or whatever ones he does, to put him in as a number two, I don't think McLaughlin's got a future, but he's maybe got an eye on a brand new number one. And I have to confess, I'm not really someone that watches Norwich games that much, but I've been impressed with Mr. Gunn when he's played for Scotland. And I wondered, you know, obviously finances and stuff might just, you know, kind of dictate that, but I believe he's still got 2 years left in his contract. But if Norwich don't, you know, start to make moves up the way, I wonder whether he might fancy that move to the big, you know, the Glasgow Goldfish Bowl, and perhaps move back up to Scotland, and it could be a good fit for Rangers.
I love a random transfer suggestion, Mark Wilson. I think it is at least 2 years, maybe one more than that, Angus Gunn's got, and it just depends. It's a crazy market down there. If he continues, say he establishes himself as one of the top goalies in the Championship and he's under contract, it'll end up costing you a fortune, probably, just as we've seen. But
and he's now an international player, which comes with a cost as well. I don't know if anybody would be jumped to that conclusion had we not seen him, you know, up here in the flesh.
And had a weirdly quiet night against Spain, which you wouldn't maybe have anticipated.
Graham says he was impressed. He hardly did anything, but
I was impressed. Clean sheet. His
stature, I've no doubt he would be interested in coming to a club like Rangers, but there's going to be a transfer fee attached to him, which might be too much.
And then there's the cynics out there that say, right, one step at a time. We had a battle to even get him to play for the national team. Maybe coming to Scottish football would be the next step. But we can keep our cynicism away, since it's been such a good international break last time out. Thank you, Graham. It's that time of the night.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Speaking of leagues that are done, opportunities to play your fringe players, to experiment, it is Thursday night and the week is already over for the pundits. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, three in a row for the listeners on Beat the Pundit. We don't get that very often. Congratulations, Gordon Dale. You were part of it. You lost on Tuesday.
Big part of it.
Abysmal. Kenny Miller Monday, Gordon Dale Tuesday, Jim Duffy last night.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm desperate to play tonight. I'm really, because I've had two bad away games.
Really poor.
I feel at home tonight.
So it's a free hit, as the I'm just brushing off all the football cliches, because the pundits have lost the week. But you could rub the salt in the wounds. Imagine it was a clean sweep. You could play a part in it. 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
That was a mild technical hitch that may or may not have been my fault. You will never ever know the truth behind the matter.
Definitely
Mark
your
Wilson,
fault.
Gordon DL and myself, we are still here.
Hit the buttons, mate.
We are still here. Believe it or
can't
not.
Can I get the staff now?
And it is time getting the money's worth for this.
Stay away for the.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. I'm certain of it. Kieran's in Paisley. How are you, Kieran?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Have you ever played before?
No.
Good, that's the way I like it. And having said that, three debutants this week, three victories for the listeners. Did you hear any this week, Kieran? Did you hear just how easy it is?
No, but it was my wee cousin who inspired me. Come on, I'm actually with him.
Right. Oh, no, that's a wee boy.
What do you mean?
He's been on before, hasn't he, your wee cousin?
Aye, I have.
Come on. Seriously, is this the Paisley Beat the Pundit cartel again? Yeah. What's his name again?
Sean.
This is ridiculous. What's his brother called? What's your other cousin?
Liam.
And did you go to Snoop Dogg with him?
It's been the night.
Oh, what is it? We're going to need to start barring numbers from Paisley. And they've been clever about this. They've let it die down for a couple of weeks. And then they've just phoned in. This is
they're
ridiculous.
A full family sitting there, aren't they?
Well, like the eggheads, these big pundit experts.
I can just picture that room right now, I'm telling you now.
No, they'll be in a car. You two are in a car, aren't you?
Aye, we're in a car, aye.
I knew it. They just go out and drive about, roam about
a bit.
And
people
and beat the pundit. The thing is, though, if Sean's there, you two are in trouble.
He's
a
genius.
Good.
He's
an unlikely beat the pundit
very
genius.
Very laid back genius.
Hey, Sean, no cheating. You can't help him.
No, of course not. It wasn't me who got the 18 bang on, was it?
I love these guys anyway. I'm just a bit worried that there's a family of about 50 in Fortnite's
full. After every question, they'll answer, yeah.
Right,
man.
Heads, it is Mark Wilson. Tails, it's Gordon.
I want
DL.
To know more about where they drive about.
I don't.
What he's day?
Don't answer that, guys. You'll get yourselves in bother. Tails, it's Gordon DL.
Oh, no.
Dad, come on.
You can help me.
No, you will not. Okay, right, I'm going to give Gordon some greatest hits radio to listen to, and that way we'll get rid of him and we'll get Kieran and Sean on the line. So 01419511025 to call in after, but now's the big game. Kieran and Sean, are you ready?
Yes.
30 seconds go on your clock and your time starts now. Who's Celtic's all time top scorer from their current squad?
James Forrest.
Which Welsh international joined Rangers from Derby in July 2022?
Tom Lawrence.
At what Scottish side did Stephen Fletcher start his career?
Habs.
Name any current St Mirren player who's previously been capped by Scotland.
Pass.
How many times did Maurice Edu win the Scottish top flight?
3 times.
Okay, Gordon DL, can you hear us?
Yeah, how'd the brothers go there?
Not telling his cousins this time, cousins. Remember. Ready?
Yes.
Same set of questions. You know you're going to have to be good to beat them. All. Right, ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it then. 30 seconds starts now. Who's Celtic's all-time top scorer from their current squad?
James Forrest.
Which Welsh international joined Rangers from Derby in July 2022?
Pass.
At what Scottish side did Stephen Fletcher start his senior career? Name any current St Mirren player who's previously been capped by Scotland.
Pass.
How many times did Maurice Edu win the Scottish top flight?
3.
Which English side did Mickey Mellon manage before and after his time at Dundee United?
Cardiff. No, it wasn't.
Kieran, Sean, he got one more question than you. Is it enough?
Still confident.
Oh, St Mirren.
James Forrest is Celtic's top scorer from the current squad.
Tell you what,
there's a couple
Tony
in there.
Whoa.
Just you two wait. Just you hang fire. Right, we'll get to that. James Forrest, well done. You both got it. Tom Lawrence was the answer to number two, the Welshman from Derby.
Oh, did they get it?
They did get it.
Man, hey man.
They're good, these.
They're very good. Stephen Fletcher did start at Hibs. You both got that. None of you could tell me. You could tell me now. Tony Watt, Declan Gallagher, 9 caps, remember?
Oh, Jesus.
So there we go. So it's still 2-1, is it?
3 at them.
No, they didn't get that either.
They didn't get that. Catch yourself on.
Oh yeah, 3-2, oh, sorry, 3-2. 3-2
before that.
Mo Edu's won the Scottish top flight 3 times.
Oh, did they get that? Shout.
They got it as well.
No way!
Get me in that studio. That boy, you get on, Gordon Bell, you've been on. Repeat.
Is that right? Was it Mark you beat the last time?
This family is an end.
So family we're playing.
Third ball, we added the mantelpiece.
A third ball. He said third ball. I know what you thought he said. Third ball.
Sounded
very close to something else here.
Welcome to Tuesday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Sean and Kieran from Paisley. You
man,
two are gone.
Give them a go.
They're sitting there with a bag of Ford Capri.
Disappointed at you because you had the chance.
Mickey Mellon.
Tranmere. Everybody is synonymous with Tranmere.
No, I forgot about that. Did Kieran, they get that?
No, but they didn't get that far. They didn't even need as many questions as you.
What was it, 4-3?
Yeah, they done you.
Ah, but they were two. They're two.
Doesn't matter.
That's cheating.
Well done, Kieran and Sean.
Thanks very much.
Well done, you cutting the Rockets.
I'm so worried about tomorrow and the next night. And
two
the next
Rockets
night.
Just beat me.
I mean, they know their stuff, though, don't they?
Do you want to know the thing as well? You didn't hear them?
No.
Because he was as laid back as Sean.
Was he?
So slow answering the questions, but just gets them right. See, like, you got through more than him. There was one that I thought we'd lost him. He took so long and then just produced the answer.
Amazing.
I'm gutted.
I wonder what they did in their actual real life.
I don't.
Maybe
I'd rather
they
not
applied
know.
That knowledge to.
Well, they might.
Well, they might be geniuses.
Half hour conversation.
I think we should get them in at the end of the season. A face to face
appearance.
Two shell suits walking in.
Hey, listen, you could be judging unfairly. You never know. You never know. Anyway, that's 4-0 for the listeners this week. You two
ridiculous.
And your colleagues should be.
Hey, I took no part
shame.
In this.
Do you
I
know
took
something?
No part in this.
I'm not too bothered about tonight. I thought that was a good game. 4-3. Tom Lawrence. How did I not get Tom Lawrence? Or a St Mirren one's embarrassment.
Declan Gallagher. Played that night, didn't he? In Belgrade.
Kieran,
yep.
Yeah, you can get in touch.
Shall the one that done me with him?
If you're part of that family, please get in touch for tomorrow night's show
on the phones or on Twitter. And even sometimes I don't always get the chance, but during the break I had a wee look at Instagram just to see if anyone was in touch, and I'm glad I did. What a message this is from Aidan. But your night's about to go from bad to worse. I'm sorry to do
Aidan
this to
you.
Aidan is an English teacher living in Sardinia and always listens to Super Scoreboard on his way to work. Anyway, the other day he arrived at school to find out they'd forgotten his laptop and that had all of his useful listening exercises that he uses with the students to prepare for exams. You know where this is going, don't you? So he decides that rather than that, to fill the time, he decided to play the Super Scoreboard podcast from his phone to his class of...
That can't be a good idea.
Of English students.
And what night was it?
That's definitely not a good
idea. I simply told them just to listen and see how much they could understand of the unfiltered Scottish accent. This class was full of Italian teenagers of an upper to intermediate level, and the verdict was, You, i.e. me, and Mark Wilson, they couldn't understand everything, but they could get the gist and could clearly hear some phrases.
Yes.
However,
that's not looking good for me, is it?
However, poor old Gordon DL didn't do so well, and they found him completely indecipherable. During feedback, someone asked me, was he really speaking English?
Brilliant.
Honestly.
They're the first people who've said that.
Listen, if we can get Kieran and Sean as a guest in here, I think we deserve guest appearances at this English school in Sardinia at the end of the season.
That's amazing. Imagine the kids in Sardinia listening to your nonsense on a Thursday evening.
Was it may have been a Tuesday.
Well,
it
would have been an afternoon. Wow, that's amazing.
You need to brush up. You're too.
How is your Italian?
It's very good. I've been to Italy a few times.
Oh yeah, you complained that you didn't like the pizzas.
Oh, how did you meet? You know, meet somebody Totti one time.
Totti, yes, mean Totti, yes, Capri. He understood me.
I can't believe.
What was the score?
You're getting trolled for a bunch of winning kids.
Totti, what was the score at the weekend? 2-1 Dazzler. 2-1, he said.
Anyway, 01419511025. I do want to delve into that discussion, debate, if you like, or preview of the top six games. Really looking forward to it. I know the split gets some stick, but it's weekends like this that we should celebrate it. Proper entertainment hopefully coming up. Let's bring in John in Helensburgh first. Hi, John.
Hi, evening panel.
Hello.
Hi, how's it going there? I've got two wee points I'm going to talk about. The first one, I'm maybe not looking to go into a debate about, but one of the members of the panel mentioned earlier that Celtic are put one game away from winning the treble. Well, I think that comment alone was very disrespectful to the other two semi-finalists.
Yeah, I agree, and I think we should get into a debate. It was
no,
you.
It's not. Yeah,
very disrespectful.
It's not been disrespectful. It's been very honest, because I do not know anyone, if Celtic or Rangers, for that matter of fact, get to the final, will not fancy them.
It's disrespectful.
No, it's not. It's certainly not been. It's been open, honest. I can't understand why John has said it's disrespectful.
Just acknowledge the existence of tiny possibility.
I've been there as a small club getting to a final, right? And I know the importance of it, and I know the supporters and the day out and the fabulous time that they have and the build up to
how patronising.
Right, but you are not telling me that if Celtic beat Rangers in the semi-final, they will not go on to win the final at Hampden. Are you kidding yourself on?
John?
For all those in Italy that's listening, that's what my proper English voice is. Sissi.
John,
I would say obviously that's down to opinion. Obviously, 99% of the time, you are correct in what you say. Whoever wins the semi final are more probably to go on and win it. But I still think every team that's in that semi final just now has earned a right to be there. So until that final's played, I think okay, I'll entitle you to your opinion. But that's all it can be, and I do feel a bit of disrespect for it. But we'll leave that one at that one if you want.
I'm happy with that, John. We'll agree to disagree.
The Michael Peel one as well, I just wanted to wade into that a wee bit. I think it was a strong comment from Peel. There's maybe two spins on it I've got going on in my head. The first one is that the fact, okay, it's rattled a few nerves from the East End. Is that maybe possibly because some of these people from the East End are clearly a wee bit fearful that Bill's comment might be correct, because as one of the Celtic fan callers said earlier, are Celtic going to be strong next season? Are they? They lose a couple of players in there. So if we add the four or five that Bill's talking about, is that maybe where the fear factor's coming from these days? Because it's maybe hit a nail in the head and Bill's comment's correct.
Mark Wilson, I love it when we get to this stage, because it started off throwaway comment from Michael Beale, followed by random analysis from caller one. We've now got John, who says the Celtic fans are actually scared of Rangers. That's why they're annoyed that Michael Beale says it's four or five players.
Well, I wouldn't agree with that. I do get his point, why they take umbrage with what he says, because Michael Beale may believe that. He's got to believe it. It's his job to make Rangers a better team and challenge Celtic. But a lot has to happen. There's got to be a big swing as well for Rangers to catch up for Celtic, in my opinion, because like John was mentioning there, Celtic have to get weaker. How there is no part of me at this minute in time that can see Celtic getting weaker. I don't think they're in the position that they were a couple of years ago, where some of their star big name players were running down their contract and it looked like they could lose them, and the club was in a bit of a transitional period. They aren't there. If anything, they're going the opposite direction. I've every confidence that Celtic will get stronger because they've got a manager who wants to push them, and particularly in the Champions League. So I can see Celtic get weaker. I can see Rangers getting stronger. I don't think there's any doubt about that, because where they are just now, good enough to beat the rest. But I think when Michael Beale puts his stamp on the team, they will get better. But I don't think there'll be this swing that Celtic fans are fearful of Rangers overtaking. Think Michael Beale can get the teams closer. Still think Celtic will be out in front.
Yeah, I don't think the Celtic fans, first and foremost, are frightened of Rangers, especially with the way things have went this season. And you're right, what Mark's saying there about the transfer window opening summer. Celtic are very strong in that. But Michael Beale's job is to make Rangers better. And I do believe, given that transfer window, now, it doesn't matter what happens in the semi-final. I know that Rangers are desperate to win that game because it's massive for them. And then they'll probably go and win the cup, not being disrespectful to Inverness or Falkirk. The summer is big, big for Michael Beale. He's got to clear the decks, and then he's got to get in the right players in the right positions and really hit the ground running at the start of the season and put up a challenge towards Celtic. But I don't think Celtic fans are on here talking about Rangers because they're frightened of Rangers. It's just normal for fans of both sides to come on and have a go at each other. That's part and parcel of the game. But I think Michael Beale's summer will be massive.
Looking ahead to this weekend, John, we had a bit of a debate earlier. You, one of your fellow fans, spoke about, you know, Michael Beale really should just be rotating the team and resting players, and it's all about that semi-final. That's how important it is. What's your view on that?
Yeah, I would actually say the caller was 100% correct there, especially rotating. It also gives them a wee chance to see these Finns players to decide, OK, who's worth keeping, who's going to give us a wee bit of push. Also, it went a wee bit quiet in the front of the younger boys coming in and getting a wee chance to kick a ball. So hopefully he does look forward to that, because the first team that he's been playing, it's been quite a regular starting 11 minus one or two faces. So obviously Beale's going in to see who's capable of doing it on the park, to see who's going to. That's another thing with the Beale comment. I think that could also be a wee bit of well-scripted criticism, if you'd like to see, to maybe get a push out of the full team, because the team's maybe standing up and going, well, you know, think I'm good enough, well, so you in these last six or seven games, just to see who can actually maybe rise to the next level and to see who's worth keeping.
Interesting take on it. Thank you very much, John, in Helensburgh. Remember, I messed up the breaks earlier, and then I was hoping that we wouldn't need to mention it again and no one would notice. How am I going to decide when to start the full-time teaser without the break that should exist right at this moment? Well, if I hadn't pressed it earlier.
This is it then.
Let's do it.
Yeah, cool.
Let's do the full-time teaser, and it's tough tonight as well. It's tough.
All right.
Stephen McCarra sent it in. Since 2005, 11 players have played for both Rangers and Aberdeen, but don't currently play for either of them. So, since 2005, 11 players have played for Rangers and Aberdeen, but they don't currently play for either of them.
Foster. Richard Foster.
Richard Foster. Well done.
Velichka.
Oh, hold on. If you're going in with these ones early, maybe you will scoosh this. That's a great answer.
Thank you.
That is.
Thank you.
A very good answer.
Thanks.
That's great.
Sonny Aluko.
Yep.
Have you been reading my emails? Do you know this question in advance?
I just know my Aberdeen Rangers players. I played against them.
Brilliant.
Period, didn't I?
Take one more guess.
It's now the obvious ones that we'll struggle with.
Yeah.
Come on. Gotta be. Oh, Ryan.
There we
go.
Cumberry play with Aberdeen.
Hibs. Did he?
I know he played with Hibs, but did he go to Aberdeen at one point?
Did he?
I feel like I remember that he did.
Did he?
Did he? But he's not on the list.
I'm not sure he was at Aberdeen.
Why have you done that to me? Because
I don't know. I'm thinking.
No, he did. Oh,
Daz!
There you go.
Send them in, we will rip them apart.
We're adding to them.
That's not bad from you.
Brilliant.
Thank you. I like that.
Well, you're up to 12. Well done.
We're up to 12. Oh, or take one of the 11 because we'll not get one at the end.
Exactly.
I like that.
Goalkeeper must be a goalkeeper. I know Snelders, but it's too late.
No.
Don't think there's a goalkeeper, is there?
Is there? I'm just frantically scanning the rest in the hope that it doesn't include loans or something, and that's why you're not getting Camberry. But I honestly couldn't tell you if the rest were or not. So we'll just crack on.
See, now it's difficult.
Mm-hmm. What?
Are those some of the more difficult ones that we've got?
I mean, they're all difficult. They're but all yeah, difficult, yeah, I guess yeah. so.
I'm thinking of the wide areas wingers.
That's good.
Why in particular?
I just like the wide areas. Anywhere in the H.
Yeah. Oh, it's a good position that.
Yeah. Come on, Mark, help us out here.
Well, I got Velichka and Aluko. That was decent.
That was. Yeah, all right, we can leave it there.
Is there a goalkeeper in there? Tell
what is it, Matt? No, isn't actually. No.
Right, okay, that's fine. I'm happy now.
Right, we'll get back to that. fulltime@clyde1.com. That is the address that you need. So send me your thoughts. Let's speak to Stephen in Coatbridge. Hi, Stephen.
Hiya, how you doing, guys?
Good, thank you. Good.
Thanks for taking my call. First time caller.
Pleasure. What made you call tonight?
So it's just been listening to the chat about Michael Beale's comments, and it's actually really funny listening into it. It's like 2 weeks ago. The opinion is that he might actually lose more than five players. So now he's going to add five players. And it's just that how quickly it changes. As a Celtic fan, I look at this season and just really tune into the facts, see really what's happened. Already won the first cup, top of the league, goals to a plenty. Manager's flying, team seem to be flying. And he's not that far away. Rangers have still to beat us. They might be getting closer, but it's that chat into, oh, we're getting closer. I know. It's sad that in the Scottish League that closer isn't good enough in Scotland, do you know what I mean? So the facts are for me that Rangers are probably going to need five players to keep to the level to where they're at just now, which... In factual terms,
how does that work? What do you mean? How will adding five players just keep them where they are? What do you mean?
They're going to lose some players. I used to have spoke about it over the last few months. The players that are at risk of contract and players that are talking today in the papers about Kent going and other players that are going to go. So, how many players have you said? This is you guys over the last few months that are going to potentially be leaving Rangers. A chat of more than five. So what I'm meaning is for a squad. Then he's going to need to introduce five new players anyway just to actually keep what he's currently got. He may improve the calibre or the talent of that. But actually, I don't think that he's five players away from overcoming Celtic. Really.
Yeah, I think the phraseology was competing with rather than overcoming. I must admit, last night at the top of the show, I said, oh, Michael Beale says they need four or five players. What do you think? Nobody called about it. There's been a delayed reaction. Everyone feels very strongly, Mark, about something which I'm sure, I don't know, are we just paying too much attention to it in terms of, you know, holding it to four or five and then it's become to overtake Celtic when actually that probably wasn't the way it was worded? Feels like we're being, I know this is a serious footballing environment, but...
Well, I was going to say that people are going to pay attention when one of the managers from Rangers or Celtic stand up and answer a question. And there is a big question surrounding his team. How do you catch Celtic? That is the.
But so what I mean is, though, for all we know, quite innocently, he does mean, you know, four or five additions, or four or five in top, four or five for the first team. You know, not a pure numbers game. If we're going to sit and count up all the players that are out of contract.
Yeah. Like Daz mentioned earlier, actually, about the squad thing, about how he not only needs starters, but he needs impact players as well, because that's where Celtic are at. The game with the five substitutions has changed that much that you need players to come off the bench and finish games for you just as much as you do starting them. So Michael Beale needs to think about that. I'm pretty sure he'll have that just now. I looked at Rangers' bench at the weekend when we were just chatting about how he may rotate things or rest players at the weekend. And John before was saying maybe some of these fringe players need a chance. I've seen many fringe players that Michael Beale doesn't know about in his squad at the minute. There isn't. It's players who have been tested and failed, but he might give them a game at the weekend. So he needs to bring that up to a better standard.
Thank you, Stephen. How much are you looking forward to the battle for top six on Saturday?
Yeah, I love the fact that teams outside Rangers and Celtic, for instance, St Mirren, full house there, Gordon. You know, that's brilliant to see fans flocking back there to watch St Mirren and Paisley against a Kilmarnock side that are desperate for points on the road. You've got Livy, who usually do not bargain, up to Tannadice. Great victory for Jim at the weekend. They're fighting down the bottom of the league to get out of that danger spot as well. Ross County, Hearts. You know, Stephen Naismith, I don't think he gave the right signals to the Hearts supporters coming out and talking about, you know, third maybe not that important. I think it's massive for Hearts.
I think you said it wasn't the be-all and end-all. Yeah, and do you know what? See, the more I think about that, I get that. Because, well, when he took over, they're behind Aberdeen anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Now, granted, a Derby defeat has since followed. But when he made the comments, they were behind Aberdeen anyway. So it was entirely possible that Stephen Naismith has a really positive impact on that team, gets them playing some good stuff, they get some good results, but they still don't finish third because they were already behind Aberdeen. At which point, everyone goes, huh, well, third was the be-all and end-all, so we can't have this guy as the manager. So if you're him, is it maybe, and I know it went against what the club had sort of said, but can you not understand from a self-protection perspective why he wouldn't want the entire judgment on whether he's a success or not to come down to whether they can finish third when they started behind third under him?
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, but I think they've got won a massive game at the weekend because he's walked into his first game. Now, you're not telling me they got rid of Robbie Nielsen because, like other clubs that's happened this season, and there've been a lot of them, they get rid of the manager for this new manager bounce, and they were looking for that with Stephen Nielsen. So I know it was a difficult game at Easter Road. He's got to get a result.
Anyway, I don't know how this happened because we don't need to get Hearts and Ross County doesn't impact the race for top six. I mean, Hearts technically are not over the line, but they've got, what, a 19 goal advantage over Livy. So let's consider that done, Mark.
Yeah.
St Mirren are fifth. They're at home to Kilmarnock. Hibs are sixth. They're away to St Johnstone. And Livingston are seventh. They're away to Dundee United. So St Mirren really need a point. Livy, of course, would be relying on them winning and one of the others slipping up drastically. Let's hear from Davy Martindale on that.
A fantastic achievement. I think that's us 5 years in the Premier League. Now the first year we finished ninth. We finished top six twice and just missed out in top six twice. So again, going into last game of this match day 33, and we've got an opportunity to get top six. So it'd be a great achievement for the players and the staff at the club. But financially, it really, really helps the club out financially. We need the win as well, but we're probably needing the other two teams, either of them, to drop points. So we'll just focus on ourselves and see what it takes us. But we're quite used to being the underdogs, so that'll probably suit us.
It's David Martindale speaking to Sky earlier. It's just going to be brilliant, Mark, first and foremost. You know, this is what the split was all about. This is what it was designed for. And you look at the drama we're going to have at the weekend.
Yeah. And teams, Celtic fans, Rangers fans at the top of the league might go, well, what's the merit in finished top six? It's a nonsense. People in England might sneer at it and say the league's splitting into two. What's that mean? But David Martindale summed it up perfectly there in terms of finances and who you're playing in your remaining five fixtures means an awful lot. I remember Dundee United when we did it for the first time. I was part of that side and how much an achievement it was to the club at that time. We finished fifth. It meant more money coming in. And we finished the season strongly. And by the way, it makes a difference when you're going to places like Ibrox and Celtic Park and they're running than it does battling at the bottom. So it makes for a fascinating weekend. Got to say, St Mirren, firmly in the driving seat. I don't think they could have asked for a better fixture. I mean that with the greatest respect to Kelly, having seen their away form. They've sold at the stadium, so the fans realise how important it is. Livy got to Dundee United, though. It's good a result as Dundee United have had over the last couple of games. Livy always seem to do okay up there.
So I think Livy will miss out.
So you can see, so what, Mark? You can see Livy winning at Tannadice, which takes them on to 45 points. And then if Hibs drop anything, at St Johnston with their new manager, Livy would be in the top six at the expense
of
Hibs.
By the way, that's the scenario I can't see, if any. I think Hibs, after winning last week against Hearts, it wouldn't be that much of a shock that they go to St Johnston and drop points.
But if Hibs and Livy win, St Mirren get beat. They drop out, do they?
Yeah, but that's what Mark was saying, because of Kilmarnock's away record, because that's less likely.
I think Livy will just miss out. I know what Mark's saying. Livy are that sort of a team, you never know what they're going to do on the day. But Dundee United, fighting for a life, got a couple of good results, playing with confidence, just big, good crowd at Tannadice, hitting down the hill second half. They'll have too much for them.
Could you not see Hibs though going to McDermott Park? Most Hibs thing to do. And then Lee Johnson, if that had to happen,
I still think
they'll
miss out. A loss.
I think they'll lose.
Or even not win, because a draw wouldn't be enough for Livy. They've got a 17 minus 17 goal difference.
Listen, I hope you're right, because I'm supporting my old side, Dundee United. They need the points to survive.
No, you've got Livy down the
cup. No, but they're doing all bad. I've done my homework, so.
Ugh, but it is. Look, there's the obvious thing. You're going for places in the league, which brings its own financial reward in terms of prize money. Once you're in there, really, it's Andy's crack at going for Europe, and you get your big games as well against the big sides, which bring in more money. So you've tried to, you know, it's not perfect, it is flawed. We will argue about fixture anomalies next week, but you've created a league within a league, if you like, that just gives something a bit extra to go for at this stage of the season.
But, well, for me, the redundant bit of that league is if you are Livy,
or mother will. Yeah.
And you miss out, then you're playing your remaining games with nothing to be fearful for over your shoulders, and you can't, you know, break that mould of the top six. So if you're Hibs and St Mirren,
you're realistically going to head into your last few fixtures though with 10 of your 12 teams maybe playing for something.
Yeah,
it's not a bad.
I think
ratio.
It's exciting. I do. I really do.
To be fair, you could say the league will be done by then, maybe. But that's
top six to relegation, I think, is very good. Very exciting.
It's going to be one of those. You know, so if you're St Mirren, how does it affect the psychology? You just know you need to get a point, but that's always a dangerous concept, but, isn't it? They've got it in their own hands. David Martindale, he'll have Bluetooth speakers in the dugout in Livy. He installed himself.
But talking about pressure, right? Because there's different pressure at the weekend. You've got your pressure on the players at the bottom of the league. Again, I've experienced it. It isn't a nice place to be. The teams in the middle who are going for the top six, out of those teams, who's under the most pressure? Those St Mirren players playing in front of a full house, knowing it's the first time they'll ever do it, or those Hibs players go to McDermott Park knowing what it would mean losing and dropping out the top six when you've got a budget that dwarfs most of the other teams below you? A lot at stake at the weekend.
Absolutely, we look forward to it. Can you name 11, it might be 12, players who've played for Aberdeen and Rangers since 2005 but are not currently at either of them? You've given me Richard Foster, you've given me Andreas Velichka, Sonny Aluko, and Flo Cambery. Apparently, I think he's your 12th man, so you've got a few
Mark,
more to get.
I'm struggling here.
So am I. And that's
not good.
That isn't good.
Really not good.
Centre half.
There's always wide players. Oh, Maurice Ross. He played with Aberdeen, didn't he?
He did.
Wide player.
I mean, he's not wide or anything.
Wide in the right back.
Technically, yes.
Anywhere, mage.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. Maurice Ross, well done.
Oh, that has gone back a bit, eh?
The few from that era.
Was there?
Oh, come on, that's yours.
That
couple,
is my.
A couple of recent ones, though.
Couple like of maybe recent sort of, ones.
Yeah, like kind of. Yeah, probably early Steven Gerrard era, Mark Warburton era. There's a couple.
Left back? No.
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 The midfield players in there.
It's difficult. We need time to think.
Oh, I've got it. Scored a great goal. Michael Ball.
The singer.
Ball. The ball. Ball. I don't know his first name, but I remember midfield player, defender. Scored a terrific goal.
Ball. Dominic is the name
Dominic
you're looking for.
You're thinking of the West End.
Ball involved.
With Alfie Ball. Michael Ball. Alfie Ball.
Making the swap.
Right, we'll try and get the rest of the answers next.
number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final parts of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here, and they're trying their best to tackle tonight's full-time teaser that's been sent in by Stephen McCarra. So thank you to Stephen, who sent it over on the email fulltime@clyde1.com. That's how you get the questions over. And he wanted you to name 11, it kind of became 12, players who've played for Rangers and Aberdeen since 2005 but are not currently at either club. So you're doing quite well. Richard Foster, you gave me Velichka, Aluko, thought you were very good at them. Flo Cambéry even was your bonus answer. Morris Ross, Dominic Ball, you're flying.
Yeah, but Mark's got the best one ever.
I had a message in from Graham, who was giving it a go. He gave me one of his answers and then took it away straight away because he was lacking confidence in it.
Was it right?
No, it wasn't.
Quite right to take it away, Graham. Go on, Mark. I'm not even going to
Bates.
Steal that.
Bates.
No, the other one.
Well, Bates is one.
David Bates is yeah. one.
Greg Stewart.
Greg Stewart is also one.
Gavin Ray.
Brilliant. Wonderful. Three to get.
Yeah.
I would say.
No chance.
Not any harder than Velichka or the likes, I wouldn't say.
We might need positions.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. The people who watched you play football at Man City Reserves might say that it wasn't the game for you. And I've seen. And I think
well, football wasn't the game for me. I totally agree with that.
Exactly, it's not. You don't even like it. No. So, and now looking at the way you live your life, I think I've found the perfect sport for you. I mean, it's very simple. I'm just going to combine the two, and I want to know if you have you ever played foot golf?
No.
But I mean, think about it. You earned a living through football. You're obsessed with golf. What is not to like? It seems like the ultimate partnership. Have you ever played it before?
No, no. But I would love to give it a go.
The only thing that worries me is I'm not sure you can kick the ball very far.
Yeah, I'd need to play the par 3 course, like Augusta before the Masters. I would get around the par 3.
What is the pitch and putt version?
Crazy golf.
Have you ever played it, Mark Wilson?
I've not, I'm ashamed to say.
Well, did you know that in about 4 weeks time, 4.5 weeks time, Scotland are off to the Foot Golf World Cup. Things you never thought you would hear. And it's in Florida as well. Not a bad place.
Oh, why didn't we know this? Take it up.
Could we go and report on it, do we think?
100%.
Hugh Keevan's over to Florida. Yeah, see how he fares. Anyway, we're joined on the line by Carolyn, who is going to be taking part in the competition. How are you, Carolyn?
I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us. How excited are you? Florida World Cup, foot golf, it all sounds magnificent.
It doesn't get much better, does it? I'm very excited. Now the entire squad are very excited about it. There's, I think, 40 countries, nearly 1,000 players going. So we're ready and we're prepped and good to go.
Brilliant. What sort of format does it take on then? I mean, Gordon, he's all about the golf lingo, so he'll understand that. And are we talking teams or individual? How does it work?
So actually there's both, and they both run concurrently. We've got a singles competition that goes on one day and then a team competition that goes on the other. Singles is stroke play, and basically the team format is match play knockouts.
So Carolyn's talking your language. You understood every bit of that.
What handicap are you?
Well, I have to say, I do all right. I was 9 under par last weekend, but when you were talking about the length of the courses, it's actually not the same length as a golf course. On a par 5, you'd probably get 2 par 4s from a foot golf perspective.
There we are, I like that. Right, and so in terms of how does the squad come together? Where do you play your home rounds of foot golf, if that makes sense?
So we've basically got a national tour, and basically the players will compete on the national tour in order to earn ranking points. And then basically those ranking points will qualify them for the national team. We play events as far north as Aviemore, as far south as Moffat, and then east and west Ayrshire and Fife. So we really do travel the length and breadth of the country if anyone's interested in giving it a go.
Brilliant. I must admit, I didn't really. I mean, I've played before and it was very tough. I just found it like so much harder than I thought it was going to be. And that maybe says more about me than anything else.
Could be a stupid question, Carolyn.
It probably is.
Yeah. A normal football, is it size 5 football you play with, or is that a special
not a bad question
one?
By your standards?
No, it's a question we get all the time, actually. I mean, it is essentially the exact same rules as golf. But obviously, you don't use a tiny ball, you use a size 5 football, but the hole is obviously bigger. So you still get the same issues. You get the lip outs, and you know it can sit on the lip. So it's basically exactly the same game. It's just for those that like me that can't swing a club.
I'm glad you clarified, because the Gordon Dale's face when he thought you had to squeeze a size 5 into a golf hole was was quite something.
You turn up with your World Cups on.
Do you know what countries you will directly face yet?
Not yet. The draw hasn't been done yet. There's basically three competitions from a perspective of category. You've got the men's competition. They will definitely start in sort of mini leagues, and then they'll progress to knockouts. And then the women's competition and the senior over 45 competition, they will just start straight at a round of 16.
Senior over 45. Yeah. You played football. Obsessed with golf.
I would love to try that.
Perfect for you.
I'd try. If you ever go into a mixed doubles competition, feel free.
You've missed the cutoff, I think, for this year. Carlin, what sort of country is it established? Is there a pecking order here? Who are the world leaders of foot golf?
So from a world number one perspective, in the men's it's actually Cedric Bono, who's French, and in the women's it's actually Claire Williams, who is Scottish. So when we look at the countries that are probably going to do well, you've got to fancy the USA. They've obviously got a very big squad. They're at home. France are the current world champions. And I have to say, I think our three teams, you know, I think they should be going in there with a mentality that they can potentially podium. So I'm looking forward to seeing how we get on.
I love learning stuff on this show. The number one female foot golfer in the world is Scottish.
Yes.
See, don't get me wrong, that's why Carlin's on, because we are trying to shine a spotlight on it. But that should have been done before. I wish I knew that.
I think that sounds really enjoyable. Do you know that? I'm going to give that a go.
What's the prize money, Carlin, for the winning team here?
Do you know what? I don't think that's been released yet, but there is obviously a prize fund for the World Cup, and there's a world tour. So, you know, I think it was €25,000 was the overall prize pot. So, you know.
How do you guys fund this, Carlin? Is it, are you looking for some support to help things?
Yeah, all the players at the moment obviously are looking for sponsorship. It is still an amateur sport. Our national team have been really lucky to be sponsored by Omega Quant, and they're kind of looking after us from a nutritional perspective, and that's allowed the association really to disseminate those funds throughout the squad, which has been great. But there's always more help needed because it is an amateur sport. So if anyone is looking to sponsor, if they contact the Foot Golf Association of Scotland, we'd be really grateful.
Brilliant. Best of luck, Carlin. Thanks for joining us, explaining it all so well. I'll be keeping a close eye out on how things go.
Yeah, and if you want a celebrity tournament at any point, just give me a shout.
Well, you won't find any celebrities in here, but we'll certainly would come along. Thank you very much, Carlin. That sounds brilliant.
Good luck.
I really fancy that. I'd be a positional player. Turn up with the shorts on, the copas. Boom,
I've never seen you with shorts on in my life.
I'd play with a draw.
Think so?
Yeah.
A just curly
a
toe.
Curly one.
A big curly toe. Yeah, that's
how you play. A big toe basher. Oof. I think that'd be good.
Oh, she's gone. I had one more
How'd
question.
You tee off?
Exactly.
Yeah, I was failed. Thinking that. Do you bounce it?
Is it the drop kick?
Do you?
Or is it half falling? Off the ground?
Do you know what? I was going to butt in and ask that question.
The Sanchez Broto side volley.
Or get a wee sandcastle and put the ball on, like a tee, like you used to do in Ash pitches. There you go. That would be good. I think we should go along one day. Give it a go.
There's one up your neck of the woods, isn't there? That's the one I played. Yeah. Anyway, right, you've got more former Aberdeen and Rangers players to give me here. What have you got? Scott has sent me one of the correct answers.
Many of them still together.
One of them played for Motherwell also. Three you've got. Quick.
Midfielder. McCormack?
No. Midfielder. Rangers, Aberdeen, Motherwell, Leicester.
Barry Nicholson?
No.
One. Hughes?
Stephen Hughes, well done.
Good shout that.
Aye.
This guy currently employed at Rangers, I think, in some sort of academy role. Fullback.
Stevie Smith?
Yes, Stevie Smith.
He played for Aberdeen?
Yep.
Didn't know that.
And the last one.
Obviously.
Plays for Dumbarton currently.
Greg Wilde.
Oh, right, calm down. Dumbarton legend.
Roger Hanna just takes
it. Roger, you cheat.
Thanks, Roger.
Anyway, thank you, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale. We are back tomorrow, Friday night, ahead of a huge weekend. Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller will be here, so make sure you join us if you can. And Callum Gallagher is up next.